Well, hi there, Take Two family. Welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. We introduce the topics and you take it away with your lived experiences and we learn and grow together. I'm super excited because this is an opportunity for you to share with the world. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher. Hello, hey. Jerry.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. I feel much better today. Thank goodness for the great doctors that can prescribe a ton of medicine real quickly so that I can knock whatever I was fighting out. I tell you, that's the one great thing about modern medicine, that it really can, you know, react very quickly in the body to help heal. So that's the good use of medicine.
Well, great. It's good that you're back to hopefully near 100%.
Yeah, about 80-90%, but I feel good. Okay. You know, it's very hot and humid in Arizona, so I really would appreciate a little sympathy today, but not much, not a lot of sympathy, but it's tough. It's a tough day in Arizona. A lot of people are going to work pretty soaking wet. They get out of the shower and never dried off. it's pretty bad here right now, and the rains were all last night. But it's good. I'm not complaining because there are people around the country and around the world that are having it much more difficult in this situation with the weather. I hear that there's a ton of flooding. A lot of damage has been done with various things that have happened with the climate, and it's really unfortunate. And we pray, just so you know, we pray for everyone and all of these things that are happening around the world.
That's right. And today's discussion point is a discussion topic is what weakness have you overcome to be better, to be a better person? Maybe it could be a physical weakness, an emotional weakness, a spiritual weakness. Maybe you grew up without a father in your life or without a mother in your life, and that maybe kind of puts you at a little bit of a disadvantage, but you've managed to kind of overcome those things. Maybe it's a physical handicap. In my case, I was born with club feet, and I had surgeries and braces and all of that stuff, and actually, you know, turned out okay. I still walk on the outer balls of my feet, the ball of the foot up front on the outside there, but it could be you know, maybe you have overcome being a prideful person or a procrastinator or a perfectionist to be better. We don't want, this isn't a situation, none of these topics, Debbie, want to make sure the listeners know we're not sitting here just saying, you know, oh yeah, I was a scoundrel because I was like this, but we want to hear how you've improved and become better, because there are always people listening who are going through what you're either going through or you have overcome. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And how did you master that weak spot in your life or your behavior? It's very important that we know the tools and the steps that you use to get past that and to overcome that weakness and to really have a victory for yourself so that you can be the best version of yourself. That's what we're called to do, is to constantly improve and evolve. So if you have a weakness, you don't have to totally out yourself. You can make it in a very general way. If you have a weakness, how did you get through that? Or maybe you still are struggling with a weakness that you are constantly going to confession about, and you want to share, you know, that it's a constant thing. Or like Jerry was saying, something that is maybe a physical ailment or disability, is anything that kind of compromises you so that you can't possibly live your best life. How did you overcome it? How did you master it? How did you get through it? How did you live with it? 833-288-3986.
Well, I put together, as I was preparing for the show, quite a long list. I'm not going to go through all of the things right now, but maybe over the course of the next, you know, 10-15 minutes, I can sprinkle some of these in. But you know, maybe you struggled with pride in the past or anger. Debbie, you've always liked to say that you're a perfectionist because of your Catholic school upbringing, right?
That's actually a real problem.
You're not anymore, though. I see you can roll with things. So how did you kind of move beyond that perfectionism?
Marty has constantly challenged me to let go and kind of relax on the perfectionist attitude. And also, Jerry, you know this, I'm very justice oriented. When I see an injustice, I have this interior explosion that happens inside of me. I want everything to be fair and equal and everything. And because of that, in my life, it has caused me to be a bit reactionary. Okay, so I would react instead of respond. And because of Marty always is saying, Debbie, you got to respond rather than react. You know, my dad used to say, think before you speak. And Jerry, you're very good at that. And you helped me as well. And so, and then I got, you know, I've been dealing with a major health situation. So once you deal with a diagnosis that you're not even sure you're going to be here much longer, you kind of let everything go. You know, mm-hmm. I don't really react that much anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm so relaxed that I'm even more rolling with things than Marty is at this point. Wow. It's kind of funny. Yeah, we reversed roles a little bit. So yeah, and I will tell you that it's been the best thing that I've ever done for myself, because I find myself calmer, more peaceful, and really with that interior joy, Jerry, and that interior joy stays with you.
Yeah, that's very, so important. Maybe you have followed a similar path to what Debbie was just laying out there. It's obvious that many of you have something to say, because most of the phone lines are taken already. A couple still remain asking you today, what weakness have you overcome to be a better person? As Debbie said, the best version of yourself. 833-288-3986. Perhaps you have overcome an addiction of some sort to alcohol or tobacco or sex or drugs, right, or something like that. In pornography. Maybe you used to have difficulty just concentrating. Maybe you weren't a particularly good student. So, but you overcame that and you succeeded and did well in school. That was actually one of my biggest fears of going to college when I went as a seminarian. I thought, oh, if I can just get C's and C pluses and maybe a few B's and a few D's. And actually I did quite well. God really gave me the grace to overcome that. So
I was just going to say, you're really smart. I'm surprised you had that nervousness about it.
Well, I had been out of high school for 10 years, so I hadn't been in a classroom for about 10 years when I went to college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you shined. You did really well. I have to say, you're very brilliant and you're very humble. You don't ever try to, you know, have the spotlight shine on you about how smart you are, but you're very, very smart. And that's a good thing. And that's something I think you constantly improve on. And that's another thing that we're talking about today. So you may have these things that kind of stop you. They make you stumble. They're a bit of a block. How do you get through it? How do you be the best version of yourself and really shine in the world? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please join us, 833-288-3986.
We are so glad you're with us. Jerry and Debbie here, along with the show team, Ace McKay, Jeff Burson, Matt Gavinsky, screening your calls at 833-288-3986. Please do share with us and with the world some weakness that you have overcome to be the best or at least a better version of yourself. 833-288-3986. And you know, EWTN Media Missionaries, they are an important part of the entire ministry and outreach of EWTN, because they prayerfully take EWTN to parishes and the community through the print and electronic media provided by the network. And you can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Think about it, pray about it, then visit EWTNmissionaries.com and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Can I get off topic for just a second?
Sure.
Do you mind? You know, I've always heard that if you live in the South of the United States or someplace that has a higher humidity, you age better. You age gracefully. Your face and your skin looks better. I just want to tell you that it might be difficult to live in a high, humid climate, but I agree with that statement, because since we are experiencing a higher humidity here in Arizona, my skin actually feels better. I don't feel like a reptile. I personally think that we were not made to live in the desert. I'm just saying, because you shrivel up. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You've lived in the desert for a lot of years.
Yeah, I've lived in the desert. I'm not really sure. I have not given that a lot of thought, and nor have I done any research on that. So whatever you come up with, whatever you find out, share it with us, okay?
Okay. I just think you age more gracefully if you have a higher humid climate. Okay, well, you know what? Let's ask what Christina has to say. Christina's in Georgia. See if she agrees with that. Christina's listening on The Quest. Hi, Christina. Welcome.
Hello. I'm not sure about that, but that's Yeah, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does. It feels better on the body. But so tell us about what do you think about this topic, weaknesses and how we can overcome them.
Yeah, so my weakness is watching a lot of TV and TV that are not really, sometimes not suitable to watch. So I used to watch a lot of shows in Netflix, and one of them is has a show about same-sex couples. It's a comedy show. And when I was growing in my faith, I realized I shouldn't really be watching this. And they used the name of our Lord in vain a lot, too. So I went to confession, and I made a commitment not to do that. And one thing that I did is I, for penitence, is to fast watching TV for straight 40 days. And every time I get the urge to, you know, get that remote control and turn it on, I think about, you know, how, you know, the community, how they struggle with their urges. And I say, part of it is I kind of like sympathize. They have that urge. And so I'm going to, you know, try to fight that urge and, you know, pray for them. And ever since, you know, I'm very conscious of what I watch, and I, you know, limit what I watch on TV.
Beautiful. Yeah, Debbie, you got any thoughts? I do.
I just want to say, way to go, Christina. You know, when we watch these shows and they kind of normalize a lot of situations, we start to, you know, allow them to penetrate our thinking on things. And they know that. They know the power of media. They know the power of those visual events that we watch just when we are relaxing, right? And we view it as a form of entertainment. They know the psychological power that it has on us. And the demons know that. And so, Christina, way to go that you had the strength to pull away and to refocus yourself in a different direction. I just want to say I wish we could all do that, and we try to practice to do that, because it's important that we pull ourselves away from these images and these programs and these thoughts and all these things that are really being implanted in us and on purpose. Jerry?
Well, you mentioned the main thing I was going to mention, and that is things we have to remember, Christina and everybody, is that, you know, whenever we watch something on TV, there is an agenda behind it. We have to certainly recognize that nothing is put out there kind of haphazardly. They don't just sit down and randomly write scripts and, hey, maybe this will be okay. You know, there's always an agenda. And also there's always the view in mind of what is going to sell, what is going to get us advertisers, you know, and so everything is kind of tailored in a certain direction, maybe not for our overall well-being. But I think you mentioned something, if I heard you right, Christina, you were talking about we can pray for the people who are on TV and on these shows and so forth. Instead of getting frustrated and angry and, you know, yelling at our TV or turning the TV off, we can make a spiritual gift on behalf of those people. And not a judgmental one, but just say, Lord, please, I pray that you will enter their lives, give them whatever they need to know you and love you. So,
Yeah. And Christina, before we let you go, I want to just say something. You said that they use our Lord's name in vain in these shows. If you notice that most movies and television sitcoms, they will use our Lord's name in vain, right? Why do they do that? Why can't they just use a slang word or a cuss word? Why do they have to use our Lord's name in vain? Why? There's a reason. I personally believe that that's how you can tell that it is not truly of God. Because if it was truly of God, they would not be saying our Lord's name in vain, right? They're saying it because it's a way to, I believe, to alert all of us in a very cryptic way that this is not of God. Okay, and that's the first thing I do when I hear them take our Lord's name in vain. I will shut that TV set off. I have walked out of comedy shows. I have walked out of movie theaters. I'm done. Because the moment they do that, I believe it's a signal that this is not coming from God. Think about it. Because if it was coming from God, they would not be doing that. What do you think, Christina?
I agree. I do the same thing. The moment I hear that, I walk away. I shut down. And I, you know, tell my kids, you know, and they learn to do the same. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You're a beautiful soul. Thank you so much for blessing us. And as Christina was talking, we did get a message came in from one of our listeners in North Carolina. And they said, yes, Debbie, it is proven. It has been proven that those that live in the south of the United States have better skin.
OK,
there you go. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
You don't have to waste your time on the research. It's already been done.
It's been done. The Take-Two family did it for us. Yeah, I love the Take-Two family.
All right. There's a line open there. Here's your phone number, 833-288-3986. And we are talking about how we've become better, how we've advanced in life, become a better or maybe the best version of ourselves by overcoming a particular weakness, whatever that may be. Again, it's not to point fingers at our own ugliness. It's to say, look, God has helped me in this area, and you will certainly be helping others with your call. 833-288-3986. Let's go to Bob.
And we got other perfectionists weighing in too. saying they're trying to overcome that. It can be sinful too. We can talk about that as well. Okay, Bob, I'm sorry. In Houston, Texas, Guadalupe Radio app is the way you're listening. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm walking out to my car here. If that's the background noise, it'll stop in a second.
Okay.
But I was raised Catholic. When I went to college, I left the church. By my late 20s, I no longer believed in any kind of God. And that's when I hit bottom with drugs and alcohol. And so my first help was with AA. And when I got there, the message was clear that without some form of spiritual awakening, I would not be able to stay clean and sober. And so I started searching. I desperately wanted to believe in God. And I tried probably 20 different religions. And I ended up saying, you know what? My mom and dad, they were good Catholics. My grandparents, I don't know what it was with them. The priests and nuns that taught me, I know their belief was sincere. So let me just try Catholic. But I didn't believe. I was just surrendering. And now I've celebrated 38 years of sobriety. I do believe in the Catholic faith. I'm practicing. I'm active in my parish, in prison ministry, in men's retreats, Knights of Columbus, you name it. In my sobriety, I was able to find a wife who's a good Catholic woman. We were able to have children, buy my first house. My children are all grown and out of the house now. And the good Lord has given me a beautiful life that I would have never found without the ongoing support of both AA and my Catholicism. Hmm.
Praise God, Bob. And as you're talking, my mind goes straight to this, and that is you're living the life that God wants for each one of us. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. That doesn't mean a life without challenges. You know that, Bob. But you mentioned the word surrender among so many beautiful other things that you mentioned. And I know that that is a big part of 12-step programs. And God, that's the one thing, the ultimate thing that God wants for us is to, you know, give up control of our lives and our, you know, addictions and our habits and all of that and surrender those to him. And then he's got something just so much better for us than that. So I'm just joyful to hear the journey that you have taken. And I know it's not over yet. I know that God has much more for you. Debbie?
Well, and I love, Bob, how you realized, the home you have in Holy Mother Church, the Catholic faith, and you just went deep. I love how you said Knights of Columbus, prison ministry. Wow. I have always said those that go into prison ministry, you have a love, an absolute love for other souls, and the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. I mean, you really are living, trying to be Christ into the world for others. Bob, great ministry work you're doing. I love your disposition, your outlook, and all things. I agree with Jerry. I just think God's just going to have more and more abundant blessings on you. And it'll be with challenges, of course. That's what life's all about. But Bob, you have a great path, I believe.
Well, Jerry mentioned the word surrender, and I guess I'd like to put a plug in for the Susippi prayer of St. Ignatius. It's one I say every day. And for listeners, that's spelled S-U-S-C-I-P-E. goes, take, Lord, receive all my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You've given it all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, I remember, Bob, there's a song actually with part of those lyrics, give me only your love and your grace, that's enough for me. And beautiful, beautiful prayer. Bob, you are a wonderful man of God, a beautiful family man, and thank you for gracing us on the program today. We appreciate it so much, Bob. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow, that was powerful. I got emotional when he was sharing that prayer.
Yeah, I think he was getting emotional too. And why not? You know, Debbie, because when we look at where God has brought us from, some of the things he saved us from, some of the things he's bailed us out of, it should lead us to get emotional, because that is the kind of God that we have. And he doesn't want us to languish in our weaknesses and our addictions and our bad habits and all of that. But he has so much more for us.
Right, right. An abundant life, absolutely. And it reminds me of today's feast day, Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta. You know, she was known for saying about being seekers of truth, right? And John Paul II, during the canonization, was talking about that. And it just reminded me of Bob's journey. You know, he was a seeker of truth. And then, you know, and the truth will set you free. And the truth is a person, Jesus Christ. The relationship. I just love it when you look at how it all just makes sense. And I wish folks would get deeper into really being seekers of truth.
Well, and I love the story of Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta, because she was, of course, an atheist and a philosophy professor. And she went to bed. She was getting ready to go to bed one night, and there was a book laying there on the life of St. Teresa of Avila. And she thought, well, there's nothing else around to read, so I'll read this. And she, I guess, read it from cover to cover, and she said to herself, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, as they say, the truth is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Right. Michael P. on YouTube, we're waving to you, had to overcome being a perfectionist to get to where I am at now, but still have a long way to go. So do I, Michael. I'm right with you. I have some spiritual weaknesses that I still need to overcome and go to confession to try to overcome it. Oh, Michael, thank you. Thank you for talking about confession. Yes, if you want to overcome certain weaknesses, repetitive weaknesses that keep, you know, just they're haunting you, right? Go to confession on a regular basis. Go to adoration on a regular basis. Michael P., thank you so very much for that input. Jerry?
Yeah, Anne Marie said, well, it wasn't a weakness until I had a very serious spinal injury. Then I couldn't walk. 2 years of prayer and letting my husband and other people hold me up with belts, and I gained my ability to walk back. I take nothing for granted now. Smiley face. And that is from Anne Marie watching on YouTube today.
Wow. You know, you learn a lot when something happens to you physically. You really learn to never take life for granted, and you live each moment, and you're very, very grateful, and you're just appreciative of everybody around you. That is very true. It expands your love for everybody and your appreciation. I completely agree with that. And you don't want to wait for something like that to happen to you, but when we hear other stories, we can learn and grow from other people's journeys.
And we're doing exactly that today. Jennifer, hold on. You're going to be next in just a moment. Maureen, also on the line. We've got a couple lines open here. Please help to make this your show another great one. Take two with Jerry and Debbie, because you're the ones who do it at 833-288-3986. We're talking about any kind of weakness, physical weakness, spiritual, moral, advice. Maybe you are a resentful person, unorganized, difficulty concentrating. Anything that you have overcome to be better, a better person than you were before. 833-288-3986.
We're talking about overcoming weaknesses today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. There's still time for you to get in. There's a couple open phone lines. That's very surprising. So, please pick up one of those phone lines, Matt Gabinski. He doesn't like to sit there and just kind of tap his fingers and waiting for the phone to ring. He likes to answer kind of in a rapid succession of the phones ringing, and it makes him happy. So make Matt Gubinsky happy by calling 833-288-3986. And we're going to go to Jennifer, and Jennifer's in San Antonio, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Jennifer. Oh. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. I met you back in 2019, the both of you. And I don't know if you remember, but I had a slight, I have CP, and I had a slight limp in my walk. And I have, in my left side, I have it where I have a hard time, like I said, walking, but I also my arm. And that's from shortly after birth. And so it's been hard. It's been a struggle all through my life. And then 5 years ago, as a pedestrian, I was hit by a car. And I had to learn how to walk all over again, and I didn't think I was going to be able to walk again. And I was in a wheelchair for a while, and it was quite a struggle through rehab. And so, yeah, I had to deal with that twice over. So it's been a hard struggle through my life. And so, yeah, I wanted to share that with you guys because, yeah, I know what it's like to struggle.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yes. Yeah. And Jennifer, of course, you know, we love knowing you and getting to know you. And yes, you're very, but here's the thing. You are, you have to be strong to get through what you have gone through, right? You have to have that interior strength. And we could see that in you. So tell us a little bit more about how you were able to tap into that interior strength to get through all the things that you had to endure and overcome so that you can have a fully functional life. Tell us how you tapped into that, because I think that's important. That's the key.
Well, I know first of all, it's God all the way, because without him, it would be just impossible. I had the community, you know, my church community, I have a wonderful priest friend of mine that have, you know, been a really good source of support. They've been there for me through the hardship when I needed their support, and they were there when I went through surgeries. They were on top of, you know, giving me the anointing of the sick, and just the whole community just came to me when I needed it, and I could really feel the Lord working all throughout the whole time, and it's just amazing because, you know, I had to learn how, like I said, to walk, and, you know, I'm dealing with the struggle of seizures as well, and, you know, I just had to deal with that, and I've had brain surgery, and they had to take out a small portion of my brain that changed my seizures. Of course, I'd rather have what I have now compared to what I had then. Right. But it's certainly been a struggle throughout the years. And, yeah, I can attest to it being better than it was, but it's still a hardship. And, you know, I give God the praise and thanks that he's pulled me through what he has. But yeah, I can attest to, you know, you just, it's one day at a time, because you never know if you're going to live the next day, and you thank God for what you have. And my son said that I should call in, and so, because I showed him the picture of the three of us when you came, and he said, yeah, call. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we just love you, and you're a great mom. I have to tell you, you are a fabulous mom.
So I appreciate that. I really do. And yeah, because, you know, if I had not survived, he would not know me. And so I thank the Lord that that I did survive, and that he knows me, and that, yeah, that's all. It's all God, 100%, because it has been a struggle, but you know, he works all good things for the best. And so, yeah, I know that he's all knowing, and he knows the future, and he knows why. And if this helps anybody, you know, that may be struggling, then, you know, and they say, well, why me, for me? Well, no, the Lord knows why they may be going through a struggle. And there's a purpose, and it's a bigger purpose that he has in mind. And when they may not see it at the moment, but they'll see it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want them to have faith that it'll all work out in the end.
Yeah. Wow, Jennifer, I appreciate everything that Debbie said. And just a couple thoughts here. You know, there's a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. They're one of my favorite contemporary Christian recording groups of artists. They have a song called Blessing in the Thorn. You know, it's important to see, even in the thorns, you know, God is always there. There are blessings. They may be hidden. We may have to kind of unpeel some layers of the onion to get to them, but you have done exactly that. And even our Lord Jesus, as it says in the Bible, you know, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the you know, the suffering of the cross. He saw ahead. He saw the joy that was there and that was potential and that was going to happen because of what he went through. And you have, it sounds like you are really super strong, because you have gone through a lot more than I have, Jennifer, and a lot more than most people, you know. So God is really, I think he's really blessed you in your life, especially like you said, with your son.
Well, I certainly do appreciate everything that you guys have done, and I give it all to the Lord, because without him I wouldn't have been here. And my guardian angel, because, you know, my guardian angel protected me when I got hit, because it wasn't only my fracture of my ankle, but it ruptured my spleen, and mm-hmm. I should have been dead. A friend of mine says, yeah, I saw you on the news, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, they said I should have been dead, and so I give the Lord all the praise and glory, because, you know, I should not have survived that accident. So I thank the Lord for that.
Absolutely. So. And your guardian angel was right there to help you. Jennifer, we hope to come back to San Antonio. We love the Stand Tall community there that really embraced us. So hopefully pray for it, because we'd love to meet up with you in person again.
Yeah, I would certainly like that a lot. So, yes, we're looking forward to any time that you can come. We'd love it.
Awesome.
Right, because when we got together, it was before COVID. Now we went all through the pandemic, so let's hope we can get back on the road again, so we can be face-to-face with the Stand Tall and Take Two family. So that would be great.
Thanks, Jennifer. God bless you. Yeah. That'll free up a line here. We're having a wonderful conversation today, and you can make it even better by calling in and sharing a weakness that God has helped you overcome to make you a better person. 833-288-3986. Folks, this could be anything. Maybe you had trouble saying no, you know, setting up boundaries.
Ooh,
and God has helped you to do
one.
It. That's a big one. That's a really, really big one. Maybe codependency, maybe laziness, maybe it was a physical, lost some physical things like Jennifer just was talking about there. So get on the line and join us. 833-288-3986. Go ahead.
How about like cussing? You know, I think a lot of people use a lot of slang and cussing, and when they get angry or they get upset. And if you can overcome that, if you can master that and get through that, because words are very powerful. They're very, very powerful. And so maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, like Jerry said, pick up a line, please. Matt Kabinski's waiting. 833-288-3986. Let's go to Maureen, if we can, in Ohio on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Maureen. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have somewhat overcome being terribly shy. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult for me when I was going through school. I was one of nine children raised by my mother, and a very poor, loving, loving, loving family. But I think that family closeness, when you have a large family, sometimes it's you're so connected there, it's hard to be out there with others. And I was terribly, terribly shy through school. And even as a teacher, I would go to workshops and wait in the bathroom till they were ready to start, because somebody might talk to me, or maybe worse, somebody wouldn't talk to me and I'd be sitting there alone. It was very hard.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Maureen, you probably know this, because if you've listened to the show, Jerry and I have a ministry called Stand Tall Today, and you can find us at standtalltoday.com. That's for anybody that's listening. And we have a life coaching panel that helps people prepare a path forward. And one of the things I personally address in all the years I've been life coaching is, I actually stated it right before you called, the power of using the the words that are best associated with where we want to be or where we're headed. And I have a little challenge for you. Now, you said you're a teacher. I have a little challenge for you. Are you up for a little challenge?
Sure.
Okay, cool. And I'm sure you've probably heard this already, but if you haven't, this could actually help anybody else that's listening. We use the word shy all the time, especially when a child is small. We'll say, oh, that they're a shy child, or, you know, that they struggle with shyness. And that's okay. That's how we have labeled it. I would encourage you to replace the word shy or shyness with the word reserved. Okay? Because reserved is a more productive word, a word that allows you to grow. When we put the word shy on us, it almost makes us stay in that place, right? And so if we use the word reserved, it allows us to kind of pull back, get in an observation mode, and then to move forward. And it actually empowers you in a way. The reason why I say this is my husband was known as always being shy. And I said, Marty, you need to use the word reserved. And he started using it. And then all of a sudden, everything just kind of opened for him. And it flourished. And the other thing, too, we always say in life coaching is practice makes permanent. I know that people say practice makes perfect, but in life coaching, it's practice makes permanent. And I always tell folks that if you have something that you're struggling with a little bit, just practice in small doses, and because you get into a new habit. So kind of like what you said, you stayed in the restroom because you didn't want to interact with anybody. I would always tell somebody, well, just interact a little bit for like 2 minutes with somebody, because it gives you that practice, and practice makes permanent. It gives you more the feeling like you can do it. So I don't know if you probably have practiced those things already, but maybe there's somebody's listening that haven't, that just, this is the first time they're hearing it. But what do you think, Maureen?
Yes, I think that's right. I think that I tapped into my strength, which is perseverance, and I would keep trying and keep trying. Mm-hmm. Also, I realized that that feeling that way was kind of like pride, you know, because it was like worrying about what other people thought of me, and that was pride. And so I went to this litany of humility, and I say that litany of humility, and it just puts everything into perspective. And I don't feel that way so much anymore. I'm able to talk with people now, and through the practice and through understanding that it's not about me, you know, it's not about me. So that helps.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not about you, Maureen. You're right. And I always tell people, be careful when you pray the litany of humility, because God will give you opportunities to practice all of those things. But I would also maybe just put a little, the flip side of that coin, that it's not about you, Maureen. It is, in a sense, about you, because there's a beautiful you that people will know and love and benefit from your wisdom, your lived experiences, and all of that. So I love what Debbie said. Maybe give it a little bit of time and try those, you know, small steps. And we'd love to hear back from you at some point on the show. You can call the show anytime. You're always welcome to email us at take2@ewtn.com.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks,
Maureen,
for calling.
Yes, you are wonderful. Okay, I would like to share a special program that I happen to absolutely love. It's one of my favorites. It's Fire on the Earth. It's Monday through Friday morning at 5:15 Eastern Time in the morning on EWTN Radio. And it is Peter Herbeck, fantastic, provides a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. This week, Peter is looking at parts of the New Testament that talk about what God expects of us. Peter always has a great teaching. I'm telling you, I've learned so much. I put this show, Fire on the Earth, under one of my favorite categories. I love it. So folks, check it out in the morning, 5:15 Eastern Time.
Speaking of Peter's, Peter on Facebook watching the video stream, hello. Peter says, I have a weakness for cheese. I eat too much, and it is unhealthy for me as I have an allergy to dairy. So, Peter, we'll pray for you in that in that area there.
But, you know, I have to tell you, that's a real bummer. I have a friend, too, that loves cheese and has an allergy to dairy, too. And that's such a bummer because I love cheese.
I do too.
I think I should be living in Wisconsin or something.
Olivia Anna says, I have overcome all my attitudes, which I adopted in high school. Mm. So we appreciate that.
Yeah,
and that reminds me, her name, Olivia Anna. We pray, of course, for the repose of the soul of Olivia Newton-John, who just passed away.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. Yep.
Very beautiful voice and gave the
and
world
a
lot of
soul. She was a mm-hmm. good person. 73 years old, too young. Yeah. But she struggled a lot. I think it started with breast cancer. It was very mm-hmm. tough on her. But she has a beautiful daughter and. And she's impacted a lot of people. I heard John Travolta wrote a big tribute to her.
Oh, yeah.
She impacted a lot of souls. So God rest her soul. Okay, Peggy in Ann Arbor, Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. Hi, Peggy. Take it away. Tell us what weakness you've overcome.
Okay, I kept falling, and my finger atrophied in 2002. And so I was falling all the time, and I took a test for restless leg syndrome and immediately burst into tears because I knew I didn't have that. So I went to a hand surgeon. He said, no, you got to go to a neurologist. I got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease on my lunch hour back in on Halloween 2006. Mm-hmm. And I remember all I wanted to do was to get to church, but it was my lunch hour, so I went back to work. I was a teacher consultant and went back to work, had a meeting, and just kept sitting there going, oh, my goodness, I've been diagnosed with ALS, right? So anyway, he said I had to go to U of M. And so I got to church, and it was a new priest, and he said, well, I got to this meeting. I said, give me 2 seconds. I just got diagnosed with ALS. I need a prayer. And my prayer was just to... if I didn't have to have it, not have it, but if I had it, to be really, really strong and brave. And right away, I had a lot of peace, and I was fine. I mean, went back to U of M, in January, and they said that I might have this other disease, or I have an atypical ALS. And so it turns out, 6 months later, they decided I really had the other disease, even though I didn't fit all the criteria. And that disease is called multifocal motor neuropathy, MMN. And I get a blood infusion every 3 weeks for about 4 hours. So, you know, that's 15, what is it? How many years ago? 20 years ago that my finger was atrophied. And I got, like, a lot of jobs during the 6 years before... the 4 years before I was actually diagnosed, and made a whole lot of money, more money than I did as a teacher. So, you know, talk about open a window. I got mm-hmm. administrative jobs. So that's my story.
Wow. Peggy, God bless you. And thanks for being a part of our conversation today and sharing that, because, you know, there may be people going through similar things, maybe the same things. But, you know, I love that that approach that you took where you said, you know, my prayer was that I don't have it. But if my prayer is if I do have it, God will give me, you know, the strength and the courage to go forward and to persevere with this. And that is an attitude that is not always easy to take. You know, it's sometimes we just, you know, really storm heaven and say, God, please take this, instead of saying, God, I want your will to be done. But it's understandable that we want God to take things like this from us if it's his will, because there are definitely challenges that we have to live with. So I loved your submission to the will of God as you approach that.
Yeah. Good word. And Peggy, I have to tell you, we should do a show on this again. We did it a couple years ago of where were you when you got a bad diagnosis? And, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, you had to go back to work, but you wanted to be with God. It's so true. There's this strange dynamic that happens when you get a medical diagnosis, or the doctor calls and they say something is wrong, and you just start to go into this other place. It's really bizarre. But it's interesting how we quickly, those of us who have a strong faith and we do rely on God, we immediately think of God. We go to God, and it really can be a beautiful connection that we make during our hardest times. What do you think?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And I have to honor my sister. She had cancer off and on for 12 years, and she found out her breast cancer metastasized to her bones on the day of my mother's funeral, who also had cancer. I'm the only one in my family who hasn't had cancer. And but anyway, she was amazing. And it was like, if I could be anywhere near as good as her, then I would be very happy. You know, she was just amazing. Wow. So
your sister passed? Your sister passed?
Oh, yeah, 12 years. She did. 12 years. She said, yeah, she said, I'm, as long as I can get out of bed, you know, even in a wheelchair. And she was in a wheelchair for, I don't know, 6 years. And one day her leg broke in the cast. And then she, on her last day, she sat up. She was like out of it, sat up, looked at me and said, I can't get out of bed. You know what this means. She laid back down and she died 2 hours later.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Peggy, what is your sister's first name? I want to add her to the book.
Her sister's first name was Lenore, and she passed away at the age of 58.
Oh, that's young. Wow. But what a beautiful soul. What a, talk about it and an understanding. Wow. See, when we hear these things, this has got to help us get refocused and understand the importance of our faith, the journey, what it means for all of us, and get deep, have a deep foundation in that. Peggy, I'm so sorry for your loss, but she sounded like an incredible soul.
Absolutely, she was.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are too, Peggy. Thank you very much for being a part of our show today. We appreciate it so much. Time winding down. We do have time for Patricia in Charleston, West Virginia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Well, I was just going to tell you, I'm not Catholic, but my husband and I were traveling in Europe for 3 weeks in 1980. And this is a story about Pope John Paul II. We ended up our trip in Rome and visited Vatican City, and it happened that Pope John Paul II was performing Mass there, and apparently it wasn't realized because there were nuns and priests, most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my life, cardinals and the Pope, and we stood by the red rope there. I had no idea I was sick, but I was. And I watched and listened to the music and was blessed by that. And as the Pope walked out, he stopped right in front of me, turned and blessed me, and went on. 2 days later, we were back home, and I was in the emergency room, and I had to have a kidney removed. Had that happened in Rome, I would have died, I'm sure. And again, God looks after you, even when you don't know you're ill.
That's true.
Very true.
Yeah, yeah.
Very true.
Well,
can I ask a question real quickly, Patricia? But we're going to hear the closing music in a few minutes, but I have to ask you. So when you were standing in front of Pope John Paul II, who was so incredible, and people, I was in a stadium way back in the nosebleed section, and I could still feel it was, it. you sensed holiness was present. Did you feel that way being in front of him and having that blessing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was rather startling, I mean, for him to just pause there long enough to... And my husband commented on it, and he said, my goodness, aren't you special or something like that, you know? And off we went, but had no idea. 2 days later, I was in the emergency room. I had to have emergency surgery.
Wow.
But I had no idea. I just didn't have any symptoms till after we got home.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that stories like that, there are many of them regarding Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II. Mm-hmm. He definitely had a prophetic spirit, and the Holy Spirit definitely worked through him. So, Patricia, you said your husband jokingly said, well, aren't you special? Well, actually, you were special that day.
I agree.
And the Holy Spirit knew that you needed that, and praise be to God that you did get home before you had to go into the emergency room. Thanks, Patricia, for the call. Appreciate it so much.
Beautiful. I love the Take Two family. I love the discussions we have every weekday here on Take Two. You guys are amazing. We get all of your emails. We read everything. Take2@EWTN.com. Ace McKay, our wonderful producer, helps us respond to everyone. We are starting the interviews for our addiction book, so be expecting a call from me. I will be interviewing you, those that signed up to be part of the project.
Tomorrow on our program, how have your school choices changed for your children with some of the things that are being taught in school? Have you put them in a Catholic school, homeschooling, with some of the horrible things that have gone on, the shootings and all of that? As a parent, you're probably super hyper vigilant right now. So have your school choices changed in any way? Because it's now back to school time. We want to talk about that tomorrow. Until then, have a most beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, pray for us.